The latest in our monthly series, Humans of Central Appalachia, takes us to Carcassonne. Wait, not the stone-walled medieval citadel in the south of France. We're going to a tiny settlement walled by cliffs situated in the southeast of Kentucky, where Letcher, Knott, and Perry counties nudge borders, about midway as the crow flies between Hazard and Whitesburg. We're taken there by photographer-videographer Malcolm Wilson, who has collected the voices of more than 400 people of our region, telling its story in their own words.
My name's Mike Caudle, or Michael Caudle.
Michael Caudle was born in Blackie, just down the road from the family home in Carcassonne. When he was very young, not yet two, his folks moved the family from Carcassonne to Richmond, where both his mother and father would earn their master's degrees at Eastern Kentucky University. Now, this was back in the 50s. Soon after graduation, they landed teaching jobs in Owensboro. But as just about anybody from the region will tell you,
Eastern Kentucky has a powerful draw on its natives.
And home always beckoned.
We would be back here probably four or five times a year. And from Owensboro, that was a nine-hour drive. You'd take a chunk of a roll of bologna and some bread and make sandwiches on the way. Very rarely did you stop. When my parents were in college, Dad and us boys would go out and find pop bottles for the deposit. And when we saved enough pop bottles to pay for the gas back, then we would fill the tank and head home.
Pop bottles in those days had a value of 3 cents apiece. Gasoline sold for about 25 cents a gallon. There were many of these trips.
If we were coming back in the spring, you could always tell that it was getting close to gardening time because you would see this red line of fire around the hills where people had burned off their gardens and let it get out into the woods, and they were burning the leaves through the woods, and you could smell the wood smoke and the leaf smoke for miles and miles.
Time passed. Mike got married to his wife, Marcia, also in Eastern Kentucky, and born with that powerful homing instinct. And in 1973, they made their way back to Carcassonne.
We've lived in the same house since then, but our address has changed 5 times thanks to the post office.
Education runs in Mike Caudle's family. Back in 1923, if you lived in or near Carcassonne, as his grandparents did, and if you wanted to go to high school, it meant a difficult trek or even leaving home.
You had to go off to Berea or live in Whitesburg, or it was possible that you could go to the boarding school at Stuart Robinson. But then most of the folks in this area, immediate area, were old regular Baptist, and Stuart Robinson was a Presbyterian school. I don't know how much that played into it, but it probably played some part.
Mike Caudle's teacher grandfather, Hendricks D. Caudle Sr., had something of an epiphany. Kids in that very isolated neck of the woods, they needed a school.
He is the one who founded Carcassonne School. He took a job building the road that you traveled this morning from Blackie to here. But I think he made $5,000 for that, took the bid on it. And he used that $5,000 to purchase a sawmill. And then he sawed trees off of his own land and some of the trees left over from where the mines did not use them for their timbers. Mm-hmm. And he used that lumber to build the original Carcassonne School.
It was an all-hands-on-deck effort.
I kind of picture it like the Noah's neighbors watching him build the ark. Only Noah's neighbors didn't pitch in and help, and the Carcassonne community did.
After a whole lot of sawing, hammering, and sweat,
the Carcassonne School opened for classes in July of 1924. The original building burned down in the late 20s, sometime in 1929. The building that is there now, you can look at the cornerstone. And it was built in 1930-31, sometime in that period.
This was not just a single one-room schoolhouse. This was a campus in the mountains.
I always have to think about this because I'm not sure. It either covered 40 acres and had 20 buildings, or 20 acres and had 40 buildings. And I'm leaning toward the 20 acres and 40 buildings because if they were counting buildings, they would also count outhouses. Yeah. The school building itself would have had either 2 outhouses or 3, depending on whether or not they built a separate outhouse for the teacher. the water, there was no water run into the school. The well was about 300 feet up the road, and somebody would have to go draw it in a bucket, and everybody shared the same tin dipper.
The campus was presided over by a house high on a hill.
That was the house that when the sun was rising in the morning, it would strike that house first.
They called it Sunrise House.
That was more or less the administration house. So when they would have people come in, they've had people from all over. Alice Lloyd helped staff the school. But then they had administrators from New England and the Midwest and so on. And that would be their living quarters. And then you had separate houses for the teachers, for the male teachers and the female teachers. And occasionally you'd get a married couple as teachers, so they would have a house of their own.
But not just any house. You know that thing about giving the shirt off your back to somebody in need? Michael Caudill's grandpa was a very generous man.
When teachers would come here to live, he actually tore off part of his house and took it up there and built a house for them to live in, because by then some of his kids had grown and moved off.
Remember now, these were wood structures.
You know how they spread this old sawdust that's coated with the fragrant rosins and stuff to sweep the floors? Basically what they were doing was just building a candle. So most of the old buildings had burned down.
But the main school building remained. Things sometimes have a way of coming full circle. Mike Caudill's grandfather started the Carcassonne School. His wife, Marcia, was its last full-time teacher.
My wife took a maternity leave in 1974 when our first son was born. Mm-hmm. And they had a lady drive in the next year to start school. And I think she drove in for a week or two and said, I'm not driving that road every day in the wintertime, and resigned. And so they started busing the kids all out from here out to Letcher then.
The old school is now the Carcassonne Community Center, home to the longest-running community square dance in Kentucky. Carcassonne Community Center chairperson John Henriksen, writing in a 2014 edition of the Mountain Eagle newspaper, said, our square dancing is and isn't so special. First, it's more circle than square dancing. It's not clogging or show dancing, but community play party dancing where family, neighbors, and friends, old and new, young and old, have fun trying to do or watch and listen to traditional dance figures, all to wonderful old country music. The peak of our fame came at many Kentucky Folklife Festivals in Frankfort and dancing with hundreds at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
We have our culture of folklore and square dances and stuff, and we tend to not think a whole lot about them, but folks from away from here come in and discover them, and they think they've struck the mother lode.
Yeah.
The Carcassonne Square Dance is now a big part of Apple Shop's annual Seed Time on the Cumberland Festival, happening on the 7th through the 9th of next June. Go to seedtimefestival.org on the web to check out the impressive lineup of performers. And while you're there, click on Mission, and you'll see that the goal of this yearly gathering in Whitesburg is to be a mirror for the mountain people and communities, to remind folks here of our cultural riches and traditions that make this region vibrant and always growing. It's no secret to anybody who makes their home in eastern Kentucky that times have changed.
During my lifetime, but not during the time that I've lived up in here, we've shifted from mainly an underground coal economy to a strip mine economy, and now into a mountaintop removal economy. And, you know, Washington gets blamed a lot for the decrease in the mining jobs, but actually what it is you needed a lot more men to do deep mining than you do to do strip mining, and even less for that for mountaintop removal. For mountaintop removal, you can have a couple of bulldozer operators and a couple of men driving ukes, and you don't need 100 men working underground in three different shifts.
There's been much talk about the region's economic salvation. Bring in broadband. Find ways to persuade the young to stay. Attract industry, such as tourism, a notion that plays on the imagination of Mike Caudill. Listen up, Frankfort.
if it were ever possible, especially if we could ever get a decent road in through here, I'd love to see the community school reestablished with the cabins built back as they were then, right along the immediate area of the school, and have them used as a bed and breakfast, especially on weekends when we have square dances.
Our thanks to Mike Caudill of Carcassonne, Kentucky, and Malcolm Wilson for sharing his Humans of Central Appalachia interviews. Be sure to go to esweku.com and our facts and information page and click on the link to the East Kentucky Food and Dance Trail, put together by Sam Gleaves at the Hyman Settlement School. You'll find more about the Carcassonne Community Center, including info on the monthly traditional mountain square dances they host there between March and November.
Hold it.
Oh, wait a minute. One more thing about teacher and toy maker Mike Caudill.
Those of us who have something to share, we need to share.
And in Mike's case?
When you have trouble losing weight and you don't have any trouble growing a beard and it comes in white and you kind of have a twinkle in your eye, it's a natural calling.
Go to the Humans of Central Appalachia tab on our site, esweku.com, and you'll get the picture. Now, just in case very young ears are near your radio, suffice it to say that Mike once got the ultimate compliment for his seasonal performance.
There's one little girl that has been there the last 3 years, and she, last year, when she came to sit by me, said, "I think you're the real one."
He doesn't do this for money, not even for the thanks he so often hears from so many. He does it for
the look of wonder in their eyes.
From all of us here at WEKU and Eastern Kentucky University, and from a certain bearded, jolly toy maker in Carcassonne, Kentucky,
Merry Christmas to you, and many more.